The gospel of Jesus Christ is something that angels would long to look at.
He seems to care, not only that I live, but how I live.
You're going to have to pick and choose. Go with God's word or go with what the world is saying. You need to come down into the Word of God and try and test everything according to the Word of God, which is the plumb line, which helps us to know, is it true or is it false? Preach the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from
heaven. Got a God who really is intricately involved in the affairs of man.
Force every sinew and muscle within you to give it all it's got and go all the way to the finish line. It's a labor, and it's a labor of love. The love expresses itself in toil, in sweat, and blood, and tears, and going all the way. And he says, as I remember,
every word is given of God, and therefore it is the end, it is perfect, it is the full inspiration of God. It is the only source of authority that you and I have.
Welcome to Word for the World with Dr. Randy White. It's Thursday, and Dr. White is so glad you've joined us in this broadcast. Dr. White is walking through the New Testament book of James in a series he is calling Shoe Leather Theology. James wrote a letter that is practical to the core, dealing with the rough and tumble reality of the Christian life. Before Dr. White begins, let me remind you that if you miss any portion of this broadcast, you can always catch it and all of our archives at randywhiteministries.org. Just look for the Listen Online page. There you will also learn about our special free offer of the month, which I'll mention later in the broadcast. But now, here's Dr. White to introduce today's teaching.
And I want to thank you for being with us today on Word for the World as we are walking through, step by step, the pages of the book of James, the New Testament book of James, which has such a practical theology, doesn't it? Don't you just love the rhythm of James because it so connects right here with where you and I are? So I'm so grateful that you have joined us today as we come into James chapter 1, and we'll begin in verse 12. Now, over the last few days, we've been talking about what to do when trials come, and every one of you have experienced the trials of life. But as we move out of verse 12 and into verse 13, he moves from discussing trials, those trials that cause us to be approved and to receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. But then he goes into talking about temptations. Now, I have no doubt about it that everyone hearing my voice today has been under a trial. That is, under a test, under some severe persecution and pressure that if you endured it well, you passed the test and God has rewarded you for it. It's been said many times before that we're either coming out of a test or we're in a test or we're going into a test. I know that's not very encouraging, but this is why James says, when you encounter various trials. Now, the when you encounter various trials is what we've been discussing these past few days. But James continues from there and says, let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. Now, did you catch that same when there? When he is tempted. Listen, I don't know who you are or what your circumstances in life. I don't know if you're rich or poor. I don't know if you're male or female. I don't know if you live in the city or you live out in the country. I don't know if you eat high on the hog or you don't eat hog. But I can tell you one thing, that temptation is going to come your way. Whether you live in the shadow of the church, maybe you work in the church, temptation comes into the church, doesn't it? Or maybe you live there where Satan dwells, and they're in Sin City, and temptation is there constantly, continually there. I do know that temptation comes. And when temptation comes, we have a temptation. That is, we are tempted to blame God. God, why'd you ever put me here? God, why did you make me this way? God, why did you cause my psyche, my physical being to be such that I'm tempted by these things? And we want to blame God. And so James begins to give the discussion here of what to do when temptation comes. We're going to see today the reality of temptation and the reward of temptation, the responsibility over temptation over these next few days. And we so much need to respond to temptation in a holy manner, understanding that temptation doesn't come from God, but temptation comes from our own sinful nature. So join right in the sermon here as we waste no further time, but we come into James, the first chapter, beginning in verses 12 and 13 and beyond, and we take this shoe leather epistle, so practical and fundamental to us, and we learn from it when temptation comes.
James chapter 1. We pick up in verse 12, being reminded that James, the brother, half-brother of our Lord Jesus Christ, writes a letter, he says, to the 12 tribes who are dispersed abroad. That is, he's writing to Jewish believers. And these Jewish believers were undergoing trial. And so he says to them, consider it all joy, my brothers, when you encounter various trials. And he talked to them last time we met about how to handle those trials. Now, you notice that the word trials is there in chapter 1, verse 12, and where in verse 2, excuse me. And then where we pick up in verse 12, we see it again. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial. But today we're not going to talk about when trials come. We're going to talk about when temptation comes. Is there anyone here who thinks this sermon might be applicable to you? Got a few of you who are tempted anyway. And what does the Word of God say when temptation comes? Now, there in verse 12, it says, blessed is the man. That ought to get your attention, shouldn't it? Here's a recipe for blessing, and I don't want to miss out. Blessed is the man who perseveres. It's the same word he used last week on enduring. Who perseveres under trial. Now, what kind of trial are we talking about? Last week he used that word, and he was talking about the persecutions, the tribulations that had come upon Jewish believers that had caused them to be scattered out throughout the world. And yet today, as we get into verse 13, he's going to say, let no one say when he is tempted that I am being tempted by God. Now, interestingly, the word that he used for trials, as in persecutions, and the word that he used for temptation is the very same word. It's a word in its context. You have to determine what it means. And it appears to me that in verses 1 through 11, James is giving encouragement for those who are under trials. And then he uses verse 12 as a really sort of a pivot verse. He says, I want to continue talking about trials. And in verses 1 through 11, it's about persecution kind of trials. And verses 12 through 27, it's about a different kind of trials. That is, it's about temptation. So he says, blessed is the man who perseveres under trials, whether it be the persecution or the temptation. He says, for once he has been approved, when temptations come, how are you going to handle them? Once he has been approved. The first thing I'd like to share with you comes right here from this verse about approval. And that is, we need to consider the word reward. There's a reward that comes when we are faithful under temptation. Once he has been approved. Oh, there's a sense in which we can do some approval work ourselves, because 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 says, be a workman who is approved of God, rightly dividing the word of truth. Study to show yourself approved as a workman of God. And so we can work in the word of God to study ourselves approved, but in 2 Corinthians 10 verse 18 it says that we're not the ones that present ourselves as approved, but rather the Lord is the one who approves us. And so when temptation comes, we need to persevere, because there's an approval process that happens. What is that approval process? Verse 12, when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. He will receive a crown of life. Now, this could not be talking about eternal life, could it? Because if it were talking about eternal life, then there would be theological problems here, because after all, what work do you do in order to receive eternal life? You don't do any, do you? It is by grace that we are saved, through faith, not of works, because if it was works, you would do what? You would boast. You'd stick in your thumb and pull out a plum and say, my, what a good boy am I. Right? And you'd pat yourself on the back and you'd look back. And so we can't be talking about eternal life when it says you will receive the crown of life. We see that phrase come one other time in the scripture in the Revelation chapter 2. Just a few pages back, chapter 2, verse 10, where the Lord is speaking to those who are at Smyrna. That was the persecuted church. And he says to them, do not fear what you are about to suffer, for the devil is about to cast some of you in prison so that you will be tested. He's speaking about the crown of life, and he uses the same word, tested, tried. He says, and you will have tribulation for 10 days. Well, we'd like to take some encouragement. Good, it's only going to be 10 days. Here's the bad news. At the end of 10 days, you're going to die. You'll have tribulation for 10 days. Be faithful unto death. And then he says, I will give you the crown of life. Sometimes called the martyr's crown. It's certainly the crown, the reward that is given to those who are faithful unto the Lord. And this crown of life is given really only after we die. Part of the approval process is dying. And then it has to do with what have we done while we were under the trial, or in this case, while we were under the temptation. How have we responded? Were we persevering? Did we endure throughout that temptation? So when temptation comes your way, you know what I think you ought to do? I think you ought to remember that there is a reward to those who persevere. There is a reward to those who are faithful. Now, sometimes in rewards, we've forgotten this in the Christian life, that rewards ought to motivate us. And we come somewhat with perhaps a false humility as it relates to rewards. And we consider this and we look at it and we say, well, you know, I hear people every now and then say, well, I'm not seeking a reward. Doesn't that sound holy? I'm just serving the Lord. I don't want any kind of reward. But you know, through and through, the scripture says there are rewards and that you ought to seek them. And I think we've forgotten this in the Christian life. I don't know why we've forgotten it. Maybe it's because we've become Christian socialists. That is, everybody ought to have exactly the same thing. And maybe it bothers us a little bit to think that there are some who would receive more crowns or more rewards than others. And could that be right? Well, of course it could be right. Read the Bible and you'll figure it out, right? And we're to be motivated and encouraged by receiving a reward, because after all, we take those crowns and we use those crowns to glorify Him. It's not a crown of reign and of rule. That would be called a diadem. Here, this is called a Stephanos. It's a victor's crown. And when we come to the end, we desire to receive the victor's crown. So when temptation comes your way, what I'd like you to do is remember that God gives a reward, a crown, a medal of honor for those who persevere under the temptation. When the temptation is heavy upon you, remember that crown, that Stephanos, that reward that is out there, and remember the ability to then take that reward and return it unto Him as a gift of praise, and desire to have something. What are you going to take to heaven with you? Nothing, right? And so the only thing you're going to be able to offer Him is that which He gives you when you get there. Remember the old hymn? Must I come an empty-handed, thus my dear Redeemer meet? Have no gift with which to greet Him, lay no treasure at His feet. How are we going to get that gift with which to greet Him? That treasure which we lay at His feet, if it's not the reward that He hands to us. And then we'll join those 24 elders casting down their golden crowns around the glassy sea.
Dr. White will be back in just a moment to continue these thoughts from his series, Shoe Leather Theology. We will send you the entire series of sermons, uninterrupted and unedited for time, for any donation you can give to our ministry. Our current free offer is Dr. White's sermon, Why You Should Be a Zionist. We will send it to you totally free of charge, just for joining our mailing list. Dr. White is a committed supporter of Israel, and he thinks you should be too. This sermon will explain biblical reasons for pro-Israel Christian activity. Contact us today at our toll-free number to request this CD or to make a donation to receive the complete series from the Book of James. The number is 1-855-4-DR-WHITE. That is 1-855-437-9448. You can also get this offer at our website, www.randywhiteministries.org. Once again, that toll-free number is 1-855-437-9448. Now, let's get back to Dr. White's teaching.
We ought to work for that reward when temptation comes. Who does he give this reward to? Those who persevere, certainly. But it says he gives the reward the Lord has promised to those who love him. To those who love him. That's just an astonishing thought to me, because we're not talking about eternal life. Eternal life is given to those who what? Believe. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Anyone who's here today could immediately right now begin to believe that in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, salvation is yours. It is available to you. He offers it to you, and you come and you believe and you shall receive. But here he says, I give a crown to those who love me. Now here's what's phenomenal to me. To think, and this may even be offensive to some of you, to think that there are some who are saved and receive eternal life, but they don't really love him, and that he would save them nonetheless. Isn't that phenomenal? That's amazing grace, isn't it? How sweet the sound. See, he gives this crown of life to those who love him. Well, Jesus, the scripture says, what? If you love me, you will. You keep my commandments. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. If you keep my commandments, when the temptation comes, you'll walk the straight and narrow. You'll do that which he has instructed you to do. And the display of that love will enable you to persevere under trial. And in the end, you will receive that crown of life, which you'll be able to use in order to glorify him. So when temptation comes, consider reward. Second thing I'd like to share this morning is that when temptation comes, James says, you need to stop and take inventory of reality. Beginning in verses 13 through 18, we see the reality of temptation. Where does it really come from? There's two sources that could come from. Sometimes we're tempted to say that temptation comes from God. And James knew there would be that temptation for us to say that, and so he addresses it. In verse 13, he begins, "Let no one say when he is tempted, 'I am being tempted by God.'" Why does he say, "Let no one say it"? Because you might say it. It's possible. Now, I don't know if you would just flat out say, "I am being tempted by God. This temptation that's in front of me, it came from God." I don't know if you'd say that exactly in those words, but I do know that in some way or another you say that. In fact, have you ever had a temptation come your way and you said, "Well, God, the reason I'm struggling with this so is because it's just the way you made me. If you hadn't wired me quite this way, I wouldn't be struggling with this." Now, isn't that the same thing of saying this temptation came from God? And we need to realize that there was something called the fall of man. That is that we are not today as he created us to be. And sometimes we blame the effects of the fall on him. Who's to blame for the effects of the fall? Adam is, isn't he? And we were born into Adam. And so what we see of us today is not what he created us, not how he created us, not how we were wired. We have been flawed from the fall and cursed by the fall. And so don't say he's being tempted by God. Why? Because God cannot be tempted by evil. God is holy. He is pure. There is no desire within him that causes him to want to do or participate in that which is evil or to be associated with evil in any way. And since he is not tempted by evil, he does not tempt anyone with evil. There are some things in my life and yours that really just aren't a temptation for us. Have you ever noticed that the devil tempts you with things you already wanted to do anyway? He knows you pretty well. He reads your mail, I think. I mean, he knows what's going on. And he comes along and he begins to tempt you with that which you want to do. Well, obviously, or it wouldn't be temptation, would it? And here it says, God has no interest whatsoever in evil. And because he has no interest in evil, there's no temptation there, there's no desire there, he cannot place that in front of us and use that in order to tempt us.
Well, God has no interest in evil. Rather, the sinful problems that we have come from our own sinful nature. We're going to pick up here tomorrow as we continue this very sermon about temptation when temptation comes from this series of shoe leather theology. You may want this sermon or all of them, and I would love to send you. There's 12 sermons altogether from this series, and it'll take us a number of weeks to broadcast the entire sermon, and I would love to just send you the CDs of this sermon for a donation of any size. We'll send it to you, and your donations are such a blessing to our ministry. They help us to be able to buy the airtime and the internet space in order to broadcast these sermons and keep them coming to you. And so if you could give us a donation today, we would love to send you this entire shoe leather theology. It includes this full sermon, When Temptations Come. We'll be spending 3 days on this topic, but it comes on one CD for you that we would love to send your way, along with the other 11 CDs, 12 of them all together in shoe leather theology. The easiest way is just to call, and we'd love to visit with you. In fact, many times I try to take these calls myself because I love to speak with those who have been blessed by our ministry, to answer questions and to visit with you. The number is 1-855-437-9448. Our host will repeat that in just a moment. But we would so much love for you to call. And by the way, check out our website sometime if you haven't done that as well. It's randywhiteministries.org. And there on our website, we've got some resources that will be valuable to you, I hope. In fact, we have just this week put up a new article. I've called it Rethinking Church. It's a series of articles I'll be writing over the next few months, and a series of articles that just says, hey, how come when we've got bigger budgets and bigger buildings and more staff and more programming, how come none of us think the church is healthier than it was in the past? What's up here? And 500 years ago, God worked a reformation in the church, and I just wonder if it's not time for us once again as believers to rethink church and to come back and say, hey, what's going on here? Now, that's available on our website. You can read it. Just go to randywhiteministries.org. We send these articles out in email, too, and we'd love to have you on our email list. And when you go to our website or call us and just say, hey, sign me up for the email list, and we'll put you on there. In fact, when you do and when you call us, we'll send this month's free offer, which is a sermon that I preached called Why You Should Be a Zionist. Now, if you've listened very long at all to our broadcast, you know that I love Israel and the Jewish people, and I support Israel all the way. And I want to explain why I come from a biblical point of view and I support Israel. Oh, I think there are political reasons to support Israel, moral reasons to support Israel, but I support them from spiritual, biblical, Old Testament and New Testament reasons. And I want to explain that to you. And so I've got a free CD sent out to you, Why You Should Be a Zionist. We'll put you on the mailing list as well, so you get other articles like this one on Rethinking Church. So give us a call. Again, the number is 1-855-437-9448. We'll close out. Here's our host to give us some final details about getting in touch with you, about this free CD, about the entire series on shoelace religion. God bless you for being here with us today. Thank you for joining us. I'm Randy White. Until tomorrow, you take care and walk in the Lord.
Well, we've run out of time for this broadcast of Word for the World with Dr. Randy White. But before we go, let me remind you to call today and request Dr. White's free sermon CD, Why You Should Be a Zionist. I'll give the number in just a moment. We would also love to send you the entire series of sermons from this series, Shoe Leather Theology. You will be strengthened in your everyday faith by being able to listen to the sermons uninterrupted and unedited for time. We can send these to you when you give a donation of any size. Now, there are several ways to contact us to request the free Zionist CD or the Shoe Leather Theology series. The easiest is to just call us toll-free at 1-855-437-9448. That's 1-855-437-9448. You can also go to our website, www.randywhiteministries.org. And Dr. White would love to hear from you by email at randy@randywhiteministries.org. We look forward to hearing from you today. Until tomorrow, thank you for joining us on Word for the World with Dr. Randy White. If you are in the Houston area, join Dr. White this Sunday at First Baptist Church of Katy, where these sermons originate.
God has not abandoned Israel unless the sun didn't come up this morning. God is fulfilling the promise just like he said he would, the prophecy. He said, you'll be scattered for many days, but then I'm going to call you back home. If it's a nation created by God, then Israel is a nation protected by God. All these covenants, all these promises, all the Old Testament, all the New Testament, all came to us from the Jews. I think in our daily prayer life, we ought to be praying for the peace of Jerusalem.
Thank you for joining us at friendofzion.com. I'm Dr. Randy White. During this month of July and into August, as it is beginning today, we are taking a special offering that'll go 100%, not to our ministry, but to Leket Israel. Leket is the Hebrew word for gleaning. And it was the Hebrew plan, God's plan for the Hebrews of taking care of the poor. You remember that those who owned fields and had crops were to leave the corners of the fields for leket, for gleaning. The poor of the land could then come through and they could harvest those corners and they could be fed. Now today, Leket Israel stands as a provider of food for the poor of Israel. And where do they get this food? From gleaning. Literally, they rescue meals, as they call it, from hotels and bar mitzvahs and Christian groups and Jewish groups that are in Israel, and there's food left over from their events, and they take this food and they repackage it and give it to the poor. Or from farms that are there, produce farms and vegetable farms, in which the corners are left, and these fields are given for the poor. Now, also, when you give a dollar or two gift, or $10 or $20 or $100 gift to Leket, they take that for the warehouses and the expenses, and they use it to bless Israel. I want to encourage you to go to our website and give a generous gift to Leket Israel. If you go to friendofzion.com and you click the donate button, 100% of it will go to Leket Israel. And you can say, I not only pray for the peace of Jerusalem, but I'm part of helping bring about peace within the hearts of the poor, especially. And I'm helping to be a blessing to Israel. And you know the promise, may they who bless you be blessed, and those who curse you be cursed. It's Leket Israel, and you can give a donation at friendofzion.com. Our Heavenly Father, as we pray for the peace of Jerusalem, we're reminded that there are many poor in Israel today. They've moved in, they've made aliyah from many countries of the world. And many of them are struggling. Some of these are even elderly and Holocaust survivors. And they live in very challenging times economically. As we give something from around the corners, the gleaning, the leftovers, we pray that you would take these gifts and you would use them for the peace of Jerusalem. You would use them to feed one of yours. I was hungry and you fed me. We'll do it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm Dr. Randy White. It's friendofzion.com.